Welcome to Artrageous, a weekly podcast about the truly outrageous stories in the art and design world. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Artrageous, where Carrie's mind uses recent events as a launching point for a wild thought train that leads us to today's episode topic. On the heels of this recent Twitter X rebrand debacle, I got to thinking about how this rebrand is probably one of the most chaotic and ill-executed rebrands that I have ever seen. But of course, there are a few others that also make that list. So before I get back into some more true crime stories here on Artrageous, I wanted to kind of piggyback off of recent events since they do provide a wonderful opportunity for us to explore just how crazy and how sideways even the most well-thought-out rebrands can go. And as insanely amusing as the whole Twitter X rebrand situation is, that is not actually the topic for today's story. There is one rebrand story that I have had on my radar and episode topic list for a while that could definitely stand to rival current events for the title of biggest rebrand failure of all time. And that is the Tropicana rebrand in January 2009. If you're thinking, wait, what Tropicana rebrand in 2009? They've had the same branding forever. Then you are on the right track, because that is part of the craziness of this whole story. On January 8th, 2009, Tropicana revealed brand new packaging for their line of orange juices. Then, less than 2 months later, they announced that they would be returning to their original design. That is a very quick change of heart for any rebrand, especially one on this scale. So what went wrong and how did it happen so quickly? This whole story starts out with a design brief at a company whose name we have heard on this podcast before. We're talking about the Arnell Group. Pepsi worked with them in 2008 for their Pepsi logo redesign, and despite the whole insane design document that was leaked to the public, although I'm not sure that wasn't some kind of marketing gimmick of its own to get people talking about the brand, but apparently Pepsi was happy with the work that the Arnell Group did with that Pepsi logo, so they wanted to give them even more money to redesign their orange juice brand, Tropicana. I guess the Arnell Group thought that they understood this assignment pretty well, and they started looking at what they could do to spice things up a bit in terms of design. The original package, like every other orange juice package everywhere, featured, well, an orange. If we were to look at a list of images and concepts in branding and retail marketing that are just so synonymous with each other, it's impossible not to think about, oranges and orange juice are just absolutely inseparable. The sky is blue, grass is green, pictures of oranges are used on packaging to sell orange juice. But why? Why does it have to be that way? A lot of good things in history come from bucking the norm and trying something new. And I think that might be what the Arnell Group was thinking when they decided that maybe they actually didn't need a picture of an orange to sell orange juice. If they were trying to bring the brand into a more current or modern state, then surely there was something different that could be done with this stereotypical, outdated design, right? Well, that is exactly what Peter Arnell himself had to say about the redesign at a press conference in January 2009 when the new design was announced.
Emotionally, it was very, very difficult, and it still remains difficult for everyone to grasp the importance of that change because it's so dramatic. But of course, historically, we always showed the outside of the orange. What was fascinating was, of course, that we had never shown the product called the juice. There was a strong drive to bring a big messaging onto the carton where the biggest single billboarding was. Having said that, we wanted to take the orange and put it somewhere. We engineered this interesting little squeeze cap here, which you guys could come up and see after, so that the notion of squeezing the orange was implied ergonomically every day when you actually went to the actual carton. The skin of the orange is replicated on the cap and tooled into the cap. The idea, of course, is to have a consistency between the purity of the juice, which is coming directly from the orange, the cap, which you squeeze every day, and of course the carton, right? Now, The reason why that's all important is because, of course, squeeze also maintains a certain level of, I guess, power when it comes to this notion emotionally about what squeeze means, like my squeeze or give me a squeeze or the notion of a hug or the ideas behind, you know, the power of love and the idea of transferring that love or converting that attitude between mom and the kids, right?
So what he's talking about here is the new design of the orange juice carton. Like we said earlier, traditionally that Tropicana carton had a giant orange on it, and they communicated the idea of freshness to consumers by having a straw sticking out of the orange. That's effectively telling people that there is nothing more fresh than orange juice straight from the orange, and that's this product right here. The original packaging also had the name Tropicana, just big, bold, and centered in the middle of the packaging, and it was kind of wrapped around the shape of the orange to unify the text with the imagery. The rest was pretty standard. We were seeing an orange cap, green accents here and there to unify the Tropicana logo with the rest of the carton design, just really standard stuff. But this new design from the Arnell Group took all of that and literally threw it out the window. They replaced the orange with a photo of a glass of orange juice that was wrapped around the carton and scaled in such a way that it really simplified the photo to the point where it almost looked like a gradient design element rather than a glass of orange juice. Admittedly, I do kind of like the idea of a photo becoming more of a design element than a photo, but apparently that did not translate very well in this case. Unlike soda that shows ice and fizziness and texture that clearly visually defines that photo as a glass of soda, orange juice doesn't really have ice and it definitely doesn't have bubbles. So if you combine that very flat orange color with the scale at which the photo was enlarged to, really it just turns into a seemingly random design element that isn't doing much for that whole design other than taking up space. And that space on this carton is super valuable because by enlarging the glass of orange juice to take up literally 3/4 of the design space, that means that the Tropicana name was then turned on its side and squeezed into a really tiny place that made it so that it was very easily overlooked. To some of our listeners, this is probably common knowledge, but for anyone who isn't familiar with something that we call hierarchy in design, hierarchy is when you look at something and there's a clear point where the human eye will gravitate towards first. Traditionally, it's almost always the biggest, most eye-catching thing in the design. After spotting that first thing, the eye will then travel around the design, latching onto different bits. And usually this happens in order of size, where the bigger things are seen first and the smaller things are seen last. That is why composition is so important. Now, if we're applying all of that to a carton of orange juice, what do you think should be the first thing a consumer sees when they're standing in a grocery store looking at the case of all these orange juices in front of them and trying to find their preferred brand? If you said either the brand name or the picture of the orange, then you would be correct. The biggest problem with this Arnell redesign is that the brand name was not the focal point of the design, and even then, that focal point was an indistinguishable orange shape. In fact, that text that was within that orange shape was the same size as the Tropicana logo, so there were competing elements that visually made this just not a good design. And then there was that cap on the top of the carton. It was kind of clever, I will admit, but it was in the shape of an orange. And yet, I will be really frank here, to me it just looked like a boob sticking out of the top of the carton with a little butthole indent in the top of it. I know that sounds really weird, but that was kind of how my brain interpreted that one. Overall, this design may have been more modern, but it was still an absolute mess. A company should really want people to know what they're buying when they look at something, and this design was just not helping that. This design was not it. Now, I will give them some credit, though, because their ad campaign was kind of cute. There were a bunch of moms and dads hugging kids, which is a play off of the word squeeze, as in a hug.
The black and white photos were a very nice contrast to that pop of oranges and yellows that were in the products that they were featuring. And you know, other than the slightly messed up messaging of hug your kids until the juice comes out, I think that there really wasn't anything too horrible about the print ad. If the goal of the squeeze campaign was to emphasize the positive emotions customers associated with the Tropicana brand, while also highlighting some nutritional value, then yes, it checked the boxes. What was off-putting and kind of weird was the website that literally had a section for how to find Tropicana with instructions on what that new logo was going to look like so that customers could find it in the stores. I'm sorry, what? If a company needs an instruction manual for people to find their product, especially in this world with hundreds of other options, then I'm sorry, friend, but that is not gonna fly. It's just not. A brand and packaging really needs to be able to pull people in on its own and be recognizable on its own. If the company needed to literally give people a map to find their product or even a dissertation on explaining their brand, well, I hate to break it to you, but there's way too much other competition out there in the market for that. Regardless, though, oftentimes what happens when a product rebrands is there is an uptick in sales, at least in the short term, because the packaging is new and eye-catching. People who might not have bought the product before are willing to buy it at least once to try it and see what this new, exciting product is about. But in this case, the exact opposite happened. Even for customers who preferred Tropicana over, say, Simply or Minute Maid, especially if they preferred it for a sense of quality, the new packaging made it look like it came from a cheap supermarket and cast the whole entire product in a shadow of doubt that was a huge turnoff to even the most loyal brand consumers. If you've ever been to Walmart and you've seen the Great Value or Equate brands that are store brands that are designed to be cheaper, yeah, honestly, that is the same kind of vibe that I'm getting from this Tropicana redesign, and in this case, that is not a good thing. Looking at some of the other things that customers said, there were some comments I found that were quite in line with what I first thought when I was looking at this redesign, and one of those is that it's just really difficult to tell what kind of juice it is the customer is buying. On the original design, there was a very clear, easily marked spot for that info that made picking up the type of orange juice literally a 2-second thing. With this new design, though, it was not nearly prominent enough or well marked, and it was bound to leave people standing in front of that refrigerator in the grocery store trying to figure out which one had pulp and which one was no pulp. If you are like me and you hate grocery shopping because I always find myself going up and down the same aisle looking for things and I don't want to spend a second longer in that store that's just filled with crying babies and store workers hogging up the aisle doing those pickup orders, ugh, it's just a mess. It is a whole ordeal. But on top of that, the idea of standing there in front of the refrigerator case trying to find a stinking orange juice container, it sounds miserable and that alone would make me not want to buy the dang thing. But enough of me bashing this design because back in 2009, everyone else already did it for me. But when we come back from the break, we will dive into the aftermath of this rebranding move and why, even though it was so short-lived, it is still considered one of, if not the biggest, botched rebranding efforts in all of retail, marketing, and design history. Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we talked about how the Arnelle Group said, out with the orange and in with the new, when they were designing the new Tropicana orange juice packaging. And the results of that rebranding were a design that fell just as flat as the modern design aesthetic that they used in the branding. The backlash from those design changes were swift and immediate. People were not enticed with this new design, so much so that sales plummeted. I'm imagining that there were some diehard Tropicana drinkers that maybe reluctantly stuck with the brand and that those were the people that were standing in the aisle trying to puzzle through which carton was pulp versus no pulp, and that branding gave them very little help, but other people just said screw it and bought other brands of orange juice. I'm sure Tropicana was expecting a slight uptick in sales since, you know, that's kind of the purpose of a redesign, is to keep a brand fresh and relevant in the hopes of boosting sales. But no, they saw the exact opposite. In total, they saw a 20% drop in sales in less than 2 months immediately following the release of the new branding. The number I'm looking at here says that that's like $30 million in sales. Even better, although it was for Tropicana's competitors, was that other orange juice brands like Minute Maid and Florida's Natural saw a double-digit increase in sales because people just weren't buying Tropicana. I can just imagine the executives at Tropicana seeing those numbers rolling in and there just being this huge panic and more than a few questions to the numbers people about if those numbers were right. But no, those were the numbers. And as if those numbers weren't depressing enough, add in the internet feedback and PepsiCo was in for an almost PR disaster. We all know that the internet can make or break brand perception, but this was something new. What's so ironic is that at the time, a lot of this complaining about the redesign was happening on Twitter. The place where people went to complain about a rebranding debacle is now also currently experiencing one itself, so I really have to love and appreciate that one. But yeah, in 2009, Twitter was still pretty new. It was only like 3 years old, and yet it was already starting to be a place where companies could interact directly with their customers. So PepsiCo could see all of these tweets flittering around the Twitterverse about how horrible this new branding was and how people were just reacting so negatively to this new branding. It was just an absolute massacre of epic proportions. So now not only have they spent $35 million on this rebrand, but they've also now lost $30 million in sales. So they are now over $65 million in the hole on this rebrand. Not to mention that there's also the public who is ripping them a new one on social media. Now, you know when a company has to make some kind of statement, that just has to be about the ultimate display of disaster, right? And even then, it still takes time for companies to say anything because they want to make sure that it's a well-thought-out response to whatever crap hits the fan. In this case, the apology from Tropicana did not take long at all. In just a couple weeks after the rebranding launched, the president of Tropicana North America made a statement that was essentially waving the white flag in defeat. He apologized and he said that the company completely underestimated how important that straw and orange were to people. In less than 2 months, this redesign that they paid $35 million for was replaced with none other than the original packaging. Needless to say, it was a very expensive mistake for an arguably unnecessary rebrand effort. So to kind of recap, why did this all go so wrong, and why was Tropicana suddenly backpedaling to fix this design disaster? How did we even get here? First off, they found themselves standing out in a really bad way. If every other successful orange juice brand is using oranges to sell orange juice, then yeah, it might be kind of cliche and boring to use oranges, but it's just one of those things that is so important to product marketing that pushing the envelope too much can go really sideways really quick. Another thing to consider is that the Arnelle Group really lost the big picture in this whole project. The new design got rid of that old Tropicana logo and replaced it with a graphic that kind of worked okay if the carton was viewed at a 45-degree angle. But that is not how orange juice cartons are viewed in the store, so for that reason alone, this design fell very flat. Even worse than that, this new design took away everything that made Tropicana a recognizable brand. The straw alone was their most identifiable element, and suddenly it was gone, and it was replaced with something that didn't even look like what it was supposed to be. I think we could also argue that all of this stuff with the squeezing and modernizing was just too much and trying way too hard. Combine that with skipping out on simple things like market research and focus groups, and they probably could have avoided this disaster almost entirely if they had just asked for an outside opinion. If they had done that, then they might have realized that Tropicana customers didn't want or need such a huge redesign. Although one thing I do want to take the time to say here is that just because this whole thing was a massive design fail, it definitely doesn't mean that all is lost. I think that failure isn't necessarily a bad thing. It is very, very difficult to predict the response that consumers will have to change. And unfortunately, yes, financially, Tropicana's parent company, Pepsi, lost literally millions of dollars to this debacle. But in the end, there is always way more money that can be made. I think for the Arnell Group and other designers, something like this is potentially a good thing because it teaches us important lessons about design and marketing. As the old saying goes, you don't know until you try, and you don't know what you don't know. So what lessons can we learn from this incredibly amusing design fail? I'm sure there are more than a few, but let's stick with maybe three that really stand out and sum up everything. Number one is change with a purpose. Designers really have to identify the reason for a rebrand. If the Arnell Group was approaching this with the thought of bringing the brand into a modern age, then that's missing the real objective of the rebrand that in this case should have been sell more orange juice. As designers, if we miss the purpose of something or aren't asking the right questions to solve the right problem from the very beginning, then everything else after that is just doomed to fail. Secondly, we always have to consider the audience. While the idea of a cap in the shape of an orange may be a cool design feature that on a design firm conceptual level can be equated to squeezing the juice itself from an orange, or beyond that can be equated to the squeeze from a hug, that is fine to pitch that kind of marketing BS to a company where you want to justify a $35 million design tag to, but people in a grocery store are not thinking about hugs when they are trying to find a carton of orange juice in a grocery store refrigerator cabinet. They just aren't. That is why considering the audience is so important. At the end of the day, Tropicana was not trying to sell the carton's art to people. They're trying to sell orange juice. And if the audience doesn't recognize what it is that they're trying to sell, then odds are that they are not going to be very successful in selling it. The third and final thing is arguably the most important, and that would be to not lose your brand. Look, I know it is so easy to get bored with a brand, and as designers, there's that need to keep finding the next great design solution, but it's not always necessary. I think actually showing a little restraint at times is a very solid approach. If a brand is well known for a specific image, logo, or color, it's a good idea to not ditch that completely. Rather than changing packaging so drastically all at once, in some cases, it's a heck of a lot better to make small design changes here and there and slowly shift the brand in the direction that we think it needs to go. Brands are living, evolving things, and I think a really good example of that would be Coca-Cola. They have maintained the very essence of their branding for decades, and they are still one of the highest grossing beverage companies in the entire world. So I guess at the end of the day, this all really just goes to show the truth behind the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Tropicana went from being the best-selling orange juice brand in North America to losing market shares when competitors were able to capitalize on their blunder. I really don't know if I should say fortunately or unfortunately here, but this is not and will not be the last time something like this happens. We've seen it before on many occasions, and I'm sure we will see even more rebrands that really make you scratch your head. Like, why would Overstock.com rebrand using the same identity as a failed company that was literally 2 feet in the grave? Yes, Overstock.com is now Bed Bath & Beyond? I don't know. I truly do not see what could possibly be the logic in that one. Like, why would anyone want to assume the identity of a company that filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy? There has to be something that I'm missing, and I'm sure time will tell if that was actually a smart move. Although my bet would be on no, but crazier things have happened and crazier things will. So that about wraps up today's episode. But first, I want to give a quick reminder to tell people about this podcast. Rate it in your favorite podcast app. And of course, keep joining me for new episodes as they come out. I appreciate each and every one of you for listening each week. And I will tease this. There is something new and exciting happening soon. So stay tuned for an outrageous announcement in the coming weeks. I'll be back with another episode next Thursday, so until then, stay outrageous. Series music created by Arensen. Music and transition sounds licensed from Motion Array.
Artrageous is a proud partner of Stoveleg Media.
Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.